Support for WPR comes from The Alliance, a not-for-profit cooperative that contracts with over 39,000 healthcare providers on its employers' behalf to help them access healthcare. The-Alliance.org. Support for WPR comes from Stoughton Health, an independent community healthcare organization, treating acute mental health disorders in adults age 55 and over, accepting many insurance plans. StoughtonHealth.com.
This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Governor Tony Evers gave his budget address last week, revealing his spending priorities for the next biennial state budget. Passing the budget will be the first test of the state's divided government, with the Republican-led legislature tasked with passing a budget that will be signed by the state's Democratic governor. Joining us to talk about their thoughts on the proposed budget and what else is needed are Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse, Republican Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point, who serves as the vice chair of the majority caucus, Democratic Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse, and Republican Representative Tony Kurtz of Waniwok. We'll start with you, Representative Kurtz. What do you think is the most important issue for your district in the next state budget?
Well, the other night when you heard the governor lay out the budget, there is, you know, obviously you look at the price tag. That's something that's going to be concerning, at least to my caucus, the cost for that. But some of the things I did hear that were positive, obviously rural broadband's a huge issue for my district, being it's so rural. Broadband's been an issue. Infrastructure, that's not just in my district. I have a lot of townships. That's something that I'm focusing on. I've heard from many folks that know we need that investment in our infrastructure. So broadband, rural infrastructure, one of the things I didn't hear in the budget, which I would have at least maybe a shout out to our ag community. Our ag community is suffering. I didn't hear a lot in the budget or even just anything about farmers, and I have a very heavily dependent agricultural district. So there's things, one of the other things that I thought was hopeful was, we did talk about some homeless. The governor talked about that several weeks ago. Myself and a couple other colleagues, we actually talked about some homeless bills. That's not just an issue for my area, but also here in La Crosse. That's a big concerning area. And the other thing that I did take from criminal justice reform, that was another thing that was positive. We were actually here in La Crosse 2 weeks ago talking about some criminal justice reforms that we'd like to see. The governor did talk about that in his budget address. So I think there's things we're going to work on, and there's obviously things that that we've got a lot of issues with.
Representative Billings, we'll go to you next. What do you think are some of the most important issues in the next state budget for your district?
In my district, health care is a huge issue, and people have asked for 8 years for the governor to take the medical expansion dollars. So I was very happy to see that the governor wants to take those dollars and provide more coverage for 82,000 people across Wisconsin. K-12 is important. My district has a history of really good schools, good public schools, and people want to keep that maintained because when we looked at coming to La Crosse, that was one thing we heard, ooh, that's a good city for public schools. So we know that will draw people in, our workforce in, and that's our future. And so we were happy that Governor Evers had a lot to say about K-12 and funding the schools that really funding hasn't been kept up in the last 8 years. Transportation, of course, I've heard from a lot of people about transportation through listening sessions, and it was great to see the Governor Evers come up with several different ways to create a reliable revenue stream rather than depend on borrowing, which has really made people very nervous in the past. And finally, the environment. We live in such a beautiful area of the state, the Cooley region, and people value our beautiful natural resources and want to maintain that. And we saw provisions to do that in the budget, too.
Senator Teston, we'll go to you next. What do you think are the most important issues for your district in the next state budget?
Well, I think in this next biennium, there's a number of different issues that are going to be critical for the 24th Senate District and this state. And I do want to say that I think there are going to be some areas that we can work with this administration on. And as Representative Kurtz mentioned, issues like broadband expansion, been very supportive of that. And in the last biennium, helped lead the effort to get the broadband expansion grants into the budget. Things like clean water, that's obviously an issue that's very near and dear to my district in the Central Sands region. where we've had significant nitrate contamination over the last several years. And so we put out a proposal to create a new well mitigation program. And I know the governor has said that this is an issue that he's also hopes to tackle. And so I think there's areas of compromise there. And I was really excited, too, to see within the proposed budget resources going to make sure that our industrial hemp pilot program remains successful. That's an issue that we've been working on, Representative Kurtz and myself, in this new session to make changes going forward in correlation to the changes that were made at the 2018 Farm Bill. So I think those are some of the areas that we can find agreement on. Although overall, I was a little disappointed in the tone and tenor of what we heard last Thursday. This was really an opportunity for the governor to deliver on some campaign promises that he wanted to work with the legislature. And unfortunately, I think we saw a tone that he's trying to pick a fight. And when you take a look at the total price tag of this proposed budget, it's $83.5 billion. It's almost a 10% increase of where we were last biennium. And I don't know how we're going to pay for all these priorities that he's laid out. So there's going to be a lot of give and take over the course of the next several months. But I'm looking forward to going around my district to get feedback from constituents to see what they like, what they don't like, and what needs to be changed and adjusted.
And Senator Schilling, we'll go to you. What do you think are the most important issues for your district?
Well, a lot of those topics have already been mentioned by my colleagues. Certainly, as I look at this budget, I think I heard a lot of things that I've been waiting to hear for 8 years. And this is a budget that will be supportive of our 4K through 12th grade public schools, our universities, our technical colleges. The governor, you know, talked about wanting to get back to two-thirds funding commitment for our schools, and I hope there's bipartisan support to do that. He talked about a large increase for special education. That's a program that's been, I think, probably flat for the last 10 years. He talked about a middle-class tax cut, and we've had a competing bill that the governor vetoed by the Republicans, and I hope that we can find some common ground in this budget. I think in the budget is where we should look at tax policy. Also, corrections. Juvenile justice was mentioned, and we had some bipartisan support last session on the decision to close Lincoln Hills and relocate to five regional juvenile centers around the state. I hope that we can look at that and the time frame that is needed for that. But also, you know, particularly in Vernon County, I've talked a lot when I've had an opportunity with the DNR secretary designee and with the governor about flood recovery. And we have really, our communities have had some tough couple years on flood recovery, and Vernon County has several dams, and I was pleased to see that I think there's about $4 million in there for dam repairs. But in general, you know, I think the governor highlighted many of the issues he campaigned about in there with public education, infrastructure, broadband, transportation, and health care.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking with area lawmakers about the next state budget. We're here with Democratic Senator Jennifer Schilling, Democratic Representative Jill Billings, both of La Crosse, Republican Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point, and Republican Representative Tony Kurtz of Waniwok. Now we'll dig into some of the issues that you guys have identified in the budget. Representative Billings, you brought up transportation as a major issue in this next state budget. Mm-hmm. Governor Evers has proposed raising the gas tax by 8 cents per gallon and offsetting that increase by eliminating the state's minimum markup law for gas, which is a law that was passed in 1939 to prevent big retailers from selling fuel below cost. You know, Representative Billings, do you feel like this is a viable solution to the state's transportation funding needs?
Well, Governor Evers included an 8 cent gas increase, which is less than a lot of our surrounding states have gone up to. So I think that was very reasonable. He's looked at increasing fees on heavy trucks, which takes a toll on the road and seems reasonable. In fact, a Republican on the Joint Finance Committee proposed this in the last biennial budget, but it didn't make it into the budget. They're looking at increasing for registration fee for hybrids because as they're so fuel efficient, they're not paying as much in gas tax, so we're trying to he's trying to make up some that way. I like that he's looking at a lot of different ways to make up that shortfall, because it's hard to do it in one budget after so many years of borrowing and not really addressing. So I think he's got a good plan.
Senator Teston, we'll get your take on Governor Evers' transportation proposal. Do you feel like this is a plan that's likely to pass the legislature?
Well, it's hard to say. I know this was an issue that we really tried to grapple with last buy-in when we discussed the state budget. And it's an interesting proposal to throw out an 8-cent gas tax and then also consider getting rid of the minimum markup. So that was actually, I was rather surprised by that proposal. Now, when I had the opportunity to sit down with Secretary-designee Thompson late January, one of the questions I asked was, Secretary, before you ask taxpayers to pay for higher taxes at the pump, can we at least get assurances that you will explore every option available to you before you ask the taxpayers to dig a little bit deeper? I think one of my primary concerns with the proposal as it's written right now is that when we saw that bombshell audit come out in February of 2017, it showed that the DOT, the underestimation of the projects was over $3 billion. So you can't tell me there is bloat within that department. And I think we need to do a much better job at prioritizing our wants versus our needs. One project that I use as a glowing example is the expansion of Highway 10 from Appleton to Marshfield. This was a project that was put on the books in 1989, and it was estimated to cost taxpayers $125 million. Fast forward to where we sit today, it has cost taxpayers $550 million. Now, that is just one project. Extrapolate that out to projects all across the state. I think we can do a better job within the department, and I would hope that we explore those options before we ask taxpayers to dig a little bit deeper.
Senator Schilling, do you think that we're going to see some long-term changes made around transportation funding in this budget? This has been an issue that's been talked about for a very long time.
That's been one of my disappointments the last couple sessions. At the end of session, I do interviews with the media, kind of exit interviews, and we have not been able to develop a long-term sustainable funding mechanism. And I do think that there is support in the legislature. There had been in the past and really in both houses to get something done, and the largest obstacle was the former governor, who threatened to veto many of the revenue increases. So as we look at, you know, the governor talked about bringing back indexing, which happened every April 1st. It was a tenth of a penny that happened. There have been a lot of studies and Blue Ribbon Task Force and commissions that have studied this issue over the last several years, and many of the recommendations have literally just sat on a shelf. And both, Governor, at the time, Governor Walker had study groups that looked into this. Governor Evers convened a task force quickly after after winning in November. And as I sat around the table and listened to the Governor Evers task force in January meet here in La Crosse, there were a lot of different transportation users, transportation interests that were around the table. And just about everybody said, look, we have a revenue problem, and we can look for savings and efficiencies within the department, but it is not enough to deal with the underfunding and the ignoring of this issue over the last several years. And, just this weekend, so I was with some friends, and we all commented about just the roads in La Crosse that are deteriorating and the potholes that are happening. I literally can go to Madison on Tuesday morning, and I come home on Thursday night, and there's a new pothole on my street or one of our thorough arteries here in La Crosse. Our rural roads are also are deteriorating. So we need both parties to come to the table. I've challenged everybody. We need to work through the messiness. And as we look at, I don't think it'll just be one funding mechanism. It's going to be probably kind of a cafeteria style of many. Last session, both the Republicans and the Senate and the Assembly were not necessarily on the same page when it came to transportation. Earlier this year, I was on a panel with the leadership and both Speaker Voss and Majority Leader Fitzgerald had said, look, we're not going to argue over transportation. We're in agreement this year. They lent their interest maybe to tolling. So we had a study on tolling here in western Wisconsin. We're not real familiar with it. You know, southeast Wisconsin going into Illinois is familiar with tolling. That has some issues in itself of tolling because you don't capture that revenue for many years. You've got the infrastructure that has to happen throughout the state. And you literally need a waiver from Congress, an act of Congress, to get approval to do it. So I think the governor has put out a good package, and it is a start, and we need to have Republicans come to the table and address this in a responsible way for the future.
Representative Kurtz, Senator Schilling brought up Governor Evers' proposal to go back to indexing the gas tax. I wonder what your take is on this and, if Republican lawmakers are likely to support that idea.
I think, to caveat on Senator Schilling, I think there is broad recognition that we need to do something about infrastructure. I agree completely with Senator Teston that talked about make sure we have efficiencies, avoid those overruns, those long delays, because those are extremely costly. The other thing is I think there's going to be a whole – one thing I've said, and I've been very consistent, I think this session we will get a long-term solution for infrastructure. I think that's going to be a combination of things. I do want to caution your listeners on the 27% increase on trucks. A lot of people don't realize that a big truck in our area right now is already paying approximately anywhere from $19 to $2,000 per year just in registration fees and other various taxes on the vehicle. That doesn't include what they're going to be paying for on the fuel tax itself. So, and the other thing that I wasn't real excited about was the minimum markup. A lot of people don't understand that protects small businesses. So, for instance, in my district in Richland Center, we have a Walmart. Walmart, they don't have a gas station there. If Walmart had the ability to put a gas station there in Richland Center, they could sell their gas well below cost, 10 cents, 15 cents below cost, and be okay with that because they're going to make it up in on the groceries and things like that. What we're finding in Richland Center right now is there is only one grocery store. It's a Walmart. And guess what happened after the other Gordy's went out of business? Walmart raised their prices. So that law that's been in the books since 1930s, that actually does help small family-owned businesses. So I just caution people about automatically saying, hey, let's get rid of that, because there is a purpose for that.
That's Republican Representative Tony Kurtz of Waniwok here with us today to talk about his priorities for the next state budget. He's joined by Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse, Democratic Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse, and Republican Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Representative Kurtz, Governor Ever also called for an increase in state spending on K-12 education and returning to the days when state government funded 2/3 of the cost of public education. Do you think this is an achievable increase?
I don't. I mean, when you look at the $1.4 billion, we have made historic investments in K-12 over the last several years. I believe in his budget, I was sitting there in the front row, I think he said get it up to 2/3. If we got it up to 2/3, it's basically about another $200 million. I understand the importance of K-12 education, especially in the rural areas. That's kind of what I'm going to focus on as we move forward in the budget process, especially when we go through to K-12. How is it going to affect my rural school districts? Because unfortunately, in my rural school districts, with the exception of one, my districts are declining in enrollment, not increasing. I have one school district that's actually increasing, and that's Reedsburg, but the vast majority of them are declining. So that's kind of going to be my focus as we move forward in negotiation on the budget, is how do we look at the rural decline enrollment, and because those fixed costs are still there for the school. So that's one of my focuses as we move forward, that funding for the rural schools.
Senator Schilling, what are your thoughts on Governor Evers' proposal for K-12 education, especially his proposal to increase the amount schools are allowed to raise property taxes?
Well, I was pleased to see that Governor Evers includes his fair funding for our future, which is a funding plan that the governor has put forward as he was superintendent of schools over the last couple budgets, but was not included. And that fair funding for our future ensures that not a single school will lose state aid. It also recommits the state to funding two-thirds of school revenues and guarantees a minimum of $3,000 per pupil investment. As the governor likes to cite, many communities have gone to referendum to support their schools across the state, and they overwhelmingly have been successful. And so I think that demonstrates that voters have a real ownership in their schools and their community, and our schools have been underfunded, and they themselves are willing to invest their local property tax dollars into those schools. So as we, you know, look across the state, education is the great equalizer. And to look to the school districts that some, you know, in rural parts, and I'm sure in Representative Kurtz's district, we have school districts that are property rich but income poor. And how do we stabilize a funding mechanism for those rural schools? So I think education, I mean, the governor, that's his wheelhouse before he became the governor in November. And so I'm certainly excited to have a budget that supports our schools, supports our teachers. He talked about recruiting and retaining excellent teachers in our school districts, and that is key as well. So as we move through this budget, I am pleased, and I think there were many people across the state that felt like this was a true budget that supported our public schools and those that are teaching our children every day.
Representative Billings, water quality has become a top issue for both the governor and legislative leaders, with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss announcing a task force on water quality for this year. So Governor Evers proposed borrowing up to $70 million for water programs, for replacing lead pipes, to treating contaminated private wells. How would you like to see that funding allocated towards water quality initiatives?
Well, throughout Wisconsin, we know that we've had problems with water, and really nobody in the state of Wisconsin should have to get their water from bottled water. Everybody should be able to have access to clean water in our state. So I was happy to see the governor's commitment to that. The head of the secretary of the DNR was here last week talking about five new positions with the DNR, bringing those scientists back to the DNR, which is so important. We should be making those decisions based on science. We need our scientists in the department. There's aid for communities who need to replace lead pipes. In La Crosse, that's not as much of an issue because of the kind of water that we have, the pH with our water, but other communities are really suffering, and schools even having have problems with lead in schools. So we have to address that. That's our future. And then there's money to aid with farmers who we encourage them to do some strip of natural vegetation along streams and river banks to help keep all of that water that flows, that runs off of fields and into our streams and rivers and lakes, to keep that as clean as we can. But farmers, things are tight for farmers now. We know we've lost a lot of dairy farms in the last year. And so there's some help for those dairy farmers and encouraging them to keep that land out of production and use it as a filter for pollutants that run off of land. And so I think there are a lot of wide-ranging solutions that will help.
Senator Teston, what are your thoughts on the governor's proposal for addressing water quality issues in our state? Do you think they'll be enough to kind of move the needle on these issues?
Well, his proposal is certainly worth taking a look. I'm not sure if $70 million in bonding is the right way to go, but that's primarily one of the reasons why I think the speaker's task force on water quality is going to be critically important, because I think it has to be a twofold approach. We have to be able to offer homeowners and those people who don't have clean water right now, we have to provide some short-term remediation and then use the task force as a vehicle to find the long-term solution to addressing the issues. But there are some provisions in there, and provisions that we've been supportive of in the past, where more grant dollars going towards organizations. For instance, in my district, in the Farmers of Mill Creek, they are working with the folks of the Pete and Well and Castle Rock stewards to really do incredible work to mitigate the amount of runoff in phosphorus and nitrates into the Mill Creek, which flows into the Wisconsin River. And primarily that's why we introduced our legislation with Senator Coles, Representative Kurtz, and Representative Krug to create a new well remediation program housed within DHS. I think everyone on this interview can agree that clean water, it's a public health issue. And if we can give homeowners a new program that will actually give them the ability to get a new well or some sort of filtration system to get their water within safe drinking standards, I think that's a great approach to take. And that's why I'm hopeful we can get some bipartisan support on the legislation we introduced and hopefully get it to the governor's desk and get his support.
Republican Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point is here with us today to talk about Governor Tony Evers' proposed state budget. He's joined by Democratic Representative Jill Billings and Democratic Senator Jennifer Schilling and Republican Representative Tony Kurtz. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the next state budget. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, WPR.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers revealed his biennial state budget last week, setting spending priorities for everything from transportation and public schools to water quality initiatives and tax credits. Now the Republican-led legislature will be tasked with passing a budget that the governor will sign. Joining us today to talk about the challenges and opportunities in the next state budget are Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse, Republican Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point, who serves as the vice chair of the Majority Caucus, Democratic Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse, and Republican Representative Tony Kurtz of Waniwak. So Governor Evers announced he was adopting all of the recommendations of the state's Interagency Council on Homelessness, which was a group that was chaired by former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. Homelessness has been an issue that leaders in La Crosse have been working to address for a number of years. Senator Schilling, I wonder what your thoughts are on the governor's proposals in the budget and how they might complement efforts here.
Well, and I think that there can be some bipartisan support here. I was pleased to see that the governor did take recommendations from a Republican task force on this. And yes, locally we have done a lot here and working with services and working outreach with veteran organizations and with landlords for housing. So, you know, in the past we had bipartisan support on the fostering our futures, foster children and foster care issues was something that there was some bipartisan support. So I think the governor certainly is on the right track to address this issue. I also know I had a listening session 2 years ago up in the Eau Claire area, and they're doing quite a bit on homelessness issues and making sure that there is housing security for individuals. And so I'm pleased that this is one that I think we should be able to find some agreement on and move forward.
Representative Kurtz, I know this was an issue you brought up earlier in the conversation, and I wonder what your thoughts are on, are these the most effective ways, do you think, to tackle homelessness and housing insecurity in our state?
Well, I know I was pleased about that part, that the governor did mention that, because one of those bills that he said that he were going to include in the budget was one of mine. It was increasing the skills enhancement grant. That was one of the recommendations from the Interagency Council. And I do think these make a difference. I mean, obviously they make a difference here in La Crosse, but over where I live, we have Central Wisconsin Community Action Council, and the way they use those skill enhancement grants, they actually get $20,000 right now with those grants. So that will go up to hopefully $40,000. And like Mr. Hebert, who's the director over there, he said that money We have a lot of single moms that they utilize that program for to help pay for tuition, books, childcare. A lot of these young moms are going to school to become CNAs, certified nursing assistants. And so, you know, as soon as they graduate, they go from a minimum wage job up to over $15 an hour. He said this will have a direct impact in our area. And it's interesting because a couple weeks ago I visited my Old Bluff Medical Center, which is in Mauston, and that was one of the big shortages they said. They said, we need CNAs. And so this is, to me, a great way to utilize this money. And so, yeah, they do work. And I heard the same thing when I talked to the Southwest Wisconsin Community Action Council. They get a $20,000 a year grant as well. And how they utilize it with training a lot of people going back to school to be CNC operators. So these do work. And so that's part of the budget that I was excited about. So.
Senator Tustin, Evers has also proposed investing $50 million in broadband expansion program. Do you think we as a state have done enough to address this issue?
Well, I think we've made significant strides over the last several years in relation to broadband. Between the money that is coming in through the federal government through the Connecting America Fund 2, and then the broadband expansion grants that we have incorporated within the last couple of budgets. And what's great about the state grants is that they go to truly underserved areas. So, for instance, I live in the town of Hall, which is a suburb of the city of Stevens Point, and they received two grants in the last two summers, because if you go just a half mile north, there's no internet service whatsoever. And in today's day and age, I think we can all agree on that high-speed internet is no longer a luxury. It is part of our infrastructure. It's needed from everything from education to healthcare to being able to do business. And I see this as a talent attraction opportunity. When you talk to realtors, when they're trying to sell a home to a millennial, one of the first questions that gets asked is there high-speed internet? And if the answer is no, the likelihood of closing that sale falls right through the floor. And so I do think there's going to be opportunities here. Now, if the $50 million stays in, that remains to be seen. But I think anytime we can make these targeted investments to expand our network and ensure that homes are connected, it's a win for the state.
Representative Billings, I wonder what your thoughts are on this continued investment in broadband expansion programs.
Well, I appreciate that Governor Evers really identifies that a strong economy in Wisconsin is tied directly to broadband. And not just broadband access, but broadband speed goals, which he includes in his budget. He's put in a historic investment in broadband, and it really focuses on the parts of the state that need the assistance most. In the Capitol, we have visiting groups from all parts of the state come down to visit with us, and that's generally an issue that's raised by people in northern Wisconsin, central Wisconsin, more rural areas of Wisconsin. And I'm glad that he has listened to that that need and is putting funding in that. And also regulations, looking at regulations, making it easier for municipalities to access broadband and get broadband in their communities. As the senator said, this is it's important for businesses, it's important for school, for health. So much of what we do is associated with a good broadband. So I was glad to see this investment by the governor.
We've been talking a lot about Governor Evers' proposed increases in spending. And one way he's proposed funding some of these budget increases is by limiting tax breaks for higher income investors and scaling back on tax credits for manufacturers. I wonder, Senator Schilling, what you think about these options. Do you think they're viable options for increasing state funding?
Well, I think as we look at some of these revenue options that the governor is looking at, he also wants to balance it with the middle class tax cut. And certainly as we look at what has happened with the manufacturing and ag tax incentive tax program in the last couple years, we see I think it was like 30 people were eligible for like $22 million in aid or something like $22 million in tax cuts. I think it should be targeted tax relief. And in this plan, the governor has his fair tax plan that I think really does target middle-class families here in the state. They will see a savings of a couple hundred dollars. And I think as we look at who benefits from this, we want to certainly encourage a strong economy in this state through our manufacturing. We've talked about the importance of agriculture in this state, but it is so lopsided on the end of the uber wealthy that we could look at some of these middle-class tax cuts to help working families here in the state.
Representative Kurtz, what are your thoughts on these options that Governor Evers has laid out as a way to increase revenue?
Well, the manufacturing agriculture tax credit, that's something that I know works for the state. University of Wisconsin did a study between 2013 and 2016. It created over 42,000 jobs. These people are investing back into their business. You know, I'm a farmer. I have an organic farm over by Waniwok. I take every penny I make from my farm and I actually put it right back into my farm. And that's what a lot of, like this past year, I built a new shed. This past, I put two grain bins up. So a lot of these people that are taking it, they're investing back into the business. I have a business in Reedsburg that literally opened a healthcare clinic in their, they have about 500 employees. They invested that money in a healthcare clinic and an x-rays machine. So they put that money back into the business. So I don't think that's the right way to tax them, take that from manufacturers, especially agriculture, especially at this critical point in our economy. Agriculture, I think everybody can agree that's on the radio right now that ag is just it's been in a four-year decline. And unfortunately, there's not a bright spot in the future right now. So now to tax, those farmers would send the wrong message.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking with area lawmakers about the next state budget. We're here with Republican Representative Tony Kurtz of Waniwok, Democratic Senator Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse, Democratic Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse, and Republican Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point. Republican leaders have strongly criticized Governor Evers' budget, and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald has even said that he plans to start from scratch when it comes to building the next state budget. Senator Teston, do you think that is likely?
Well, I think the budget process is going to go on as it always has, where the governor introduces his budget. It then goes before the Joint Finance Committee, who then operate off the base and they pluck in things they like and they take out stuff that they don't. So I don't think you're going to see a major deviation from the way budgets have been done in previous years, even under Governor Walker. Now, I just want to backtrack real quickly on one of the comments that were made in relation to the manufacturing agricultural tax credit. Now, I know this has been criticized by some, and the line that always gets mentioned is we have a number of filers who make $30 million or more, and they qualify for this. But there's 16 individuals in the state who have $30 million or more in income. But what doesn't get reported is that these filers employ 24,000 individuals, and they have a payroll of over $776 million per year. So this is a tax credit that has been extremely beneficial to the state. And so I just wanted to clear that up real quick.
Representative Kurtz, what are your thoughts on how Republican lawmakers will move forward now that we have Governor Evers' budget? Do you think that we're going to possibly see delays because of, the need to find a middle ground here?
Well, I think you'll see a delay for the next 30 days as everybody digests. A lot of people don't realize, like my daughter this morning, she said, "What are you doing today?" And I said, "I'm going to do an interview in La Crosse." And she was all excited. And she said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "We're going to talk about the budget." And she goes, "Well, how big was that?" And I said, "It was, over 530 pages. So obviously, legislators have to go through it. The Legislative Fiscal Bureau will do an analysis. We'll get that probably in about 30 days. And then I think once that starts, we'll really go through the different line items. And I know I as a freshman, I have Representative Nygren, who's the chair of the joint, or one of the chairs of the joint finance. He actually has meetings with us. We had a meeting last week, and we'll continue to do that as we move forward to help with that budget process. Because I think there's going to be things we agree on, and just like Senator Teston thing, I think there's going to be things that we're not going to agree on. And we'll be thrown out. So, but I don't think we're going to start from scratch. I'll put it that way. But I think there's a lot of work to do in the next at least 30 days and the foreseeable future.
There were also things in the budget that lawmakers are unlikely to come to an agreement on. And so, you know, Senator Schilling, I wonder, what do you think is the point of kind of including some of these items in the budget? When we may not make progress on them. I'm thinking of legalizing medical marijuana as an example of that. That's highly controversial.
Well, I think it's a negotiating point. It's kind of putting a marker down that the governor includes that in the budget. And I like to, tell my Republican colleagues, I feel like they're still in the five stages of grief after the November elections. And first they're in, anger and denial, and then they maybe get to depression and then bargaining and finally acceptance. And I don't think they're quite at acceptance to recognize that Governor Evers is our governor, and they will have to negotiate with him. Governor Evers has a very strong veto pen, the Wisconsin governor does, regardless of party. And, the governor has done this Herculean task, delivered a budget in the time frame, the end of February. He delivered it to the legislature. And now the Joint Finance Committee needs to meet and be briefed on it, and hearings around the state, both the committee and legislators will do individual ones. But I think it's clearly a negotiating point. And as we work through the summer, and there's going to be horse trading between the Republican leaders and the governor. But it's a little bit like two heavyweights in a boxing ring, and they've been kind of circling each other, and one will, kind of throw a punch to see if they can land it. But many of these things the governor campaigned on. And, I recognize that we have a split legislature with a Democratic governor, Republican legislature, but Republicans don't control everything anymore, that they have to work with the Democratic governor and administration. And the governor has talked about accepting Medicaid. He has talked about funding our schools. He's talked about transportation. I was pleased to see that the governor included redistricting in the budget. And we should have fair maps. We should have, a nonpartisan group draw the district lines rather than having legislators in the majority party draw the district lines. So I think many of those things that the governor put in here, look, the governor can only introduce one bill every 2 years. It's the budget. So many of these are priorities that the governor has talked about. And again, we will work through these over the next several months.
Representative Billings, what are your thoughts on how, lawmakers and the governor will move forward? Do you think we're going to be able to see people coming to the table to kind of negotiate this out?
I hope so, because I hope we'll be able to come to the table and negotiate this out, because that's what people in Wisconsin want us to do. They don't like when things sort of end up in gridlock and nothing happens. And I don't blame them. They want a government that works for them. So when I looked through the budget, there were these frequent pops of topics that I was really happy to say, oh, that's the thing that we worked on together when the Blue Ribbon Commission on Education toured the state. And we heard overwhelmingly, we need more mental health workers with students in schools. And that was included in the budget. That's something that both sides, I think, can agree on. And we both know that from touring the state. With the opioid task force, working together, we knew we had to have more access to treatment. And that appeared in the budget, a piece that came out of the bipartisan opioid task force. The Children's Caucus has done work, and we've done so much research into home visiting, and that is something I was really looking for, where when a family is at risk, a social worker or a public health nurse, depending on your model, comes in and works with that family so that you don't end up with problems down the road. You try to help create a healthy family early on. You save money and you save on public and personal trauma if you can deal with those families and help them become healthy early on. And that was included in the budget. The foster care task force, there were some initiatives there where we talked about helping get more foster care families and more funding for kinship care. And there were a lot of those elements in this budget. So a lot of this budget includes things that we have worked on and studied together. And we should be able to come to agreement with those things and not make that political.
Senator Tustin, what do you think Republican leaders' strategy is going to be as we work towards a compromise on this budget?
Well, look, at the end of the day, we still have to govern. The governor needs to get some wins. The legislature, we need to get some wins. And so at the end of the day, we're going to have to get a budget done. Now, what that looks like, it's probably going to be vastly different than what was introduced to us last week. But that's part of the process. It's no different than when Governor Walker was in office and we had complete control. I mean, the budgets that were eventually signed into law looked a lot different than what was introduced to us. And that's part of the process. And so I think we'll get there. Now, am I going to be optimistic and say it's going to be done on July 1? I think that would be a stretch. But the beauty is, unlike our counterparts at the federal government, if we come to a budget impasse, our government doesn't shut down. We just operate off the base. So at the end of the day, I think we'll get there. And it is going to be a give and take. And I think for a lot of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, this is a new dynamic. This is the first time in almost 40 years where you've had one party that has complete control of the executive branch and the other party has complete control of the legislative branch. And so I think there are going to be some growing pains that come with that, but we'll get there.
Senator Schilling, as still in the minority party in the legislature, what are Democratic lawmakers going to be thinking about and doing, as we move through this budget process?
Well, we want to amplify many of the points here in the budget that we are pleased that Governor Evers has talked about and proposed. I think we want to be at the table that if there, we need to have votes from both parties to make this a bipartisan budget and define that compromise on things. And so that's what, I have a good relationship with the majority leader, and we kind of talk through issues, and he's got a role to play with his caucus. I have a role to play as well with our caucus and moving things through. So I hope it's like, at the end of the day, this is going to have to happen. And Governor Evers is, I hope he doesn't veto a Republican, he has every right to veto a Republican budget if there is no compromise. But I hope that we can govern. I've challenged my colleagues that we need to stay at the table and cross our arms and work through the messiness. So I hope we can do that.
A few last things in the budget that we saw. Governor Evers has proposed allowing people who are undocumented in the state to obtain driver's license. And I know that this is actually an initiative that has actually been championed by the Dairy Business Association and some, farm groups. And Representative Kurtz, I wonder what your thoughts are on this issue. Could this possibly be an opportunity to find middle ground?
I met with the Dairy Business Association about this topic, and I don't think the vast majority of people, if somebody's here on a green card or a visa or something like that, which a lot of our dairy farms have those type of people. I think there's some ideas to get those individuals driver's license so they're driving legally. The sticking point is when you have somebody here that's illegal. And to be honest, that's my sticking point. And I've told the Dairy Business Association that is my concern, is if somebody's here illegally, I'm worried about them, one, getting a driver's license, and then two, using that driver's license to do other type of activities, perhaps vote or something like that. So I have a big concern about that. I'm not alone in that. I live in a very rural district, and that was one of the things I've heard from a lot of my constituents, is about, one, the illegal individuals getting driver's license, or also those illegal getting in-state tuition. Those are things that I've heard just from that budget release on Thursday. And I think those are things that are divisive. I think the governor did he knew that when he made that address, because he knew a lot of Republican, especially lawmakers, wouldn't support that. So,
Representative Billings, I wonder what your thoughts are on these initiatives that Governor Evers introduced, specifically to allow people who are undocumented in the state to obtain a driver's license.
Well, I'll tell you that in my district, there are probably three or four barns. One is in my backyard. It's an old barn for the horses that still exists. But this is a concern of mine because we know that dairy is a huge industry in the state, so everybody cares about this industry. And as I went to the Dairy Business Association breakfast a couple weeks ago, I talked with industry leaders and farmers about their concerns. You know, what are the issues that are really affecting you? And I heard overwhelmingly the driver's license issue is important. So the majority of people who are working in the milking sheds are from other places. And I think that we could be able to make a driver's license available that was very clearly not for voting. Some states stamp it right on the license, not for voting, so that it's very clear that this is just an ability for someone to drive. And communities, I've heard from people in communities who say that they would like it because then they know that drivers in their community are insured. Because if you have a driver's license, you have insurance. So I think that this is an element that would help with safety in our communities, too.
Democratic Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse, Republican Representative Tony Kurtz of Waniwok, Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse, and Republican Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point are here with us today to talk about Governor Tony Evers' recently released state budget. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmaker is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.